Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 21st day of April 2022. And I'm thrilled to have back as a returning guest Christopher McDowell, who is one of three pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, whose ads you hear several times a day in Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Today we are going to be addressing a very important subject, Christian parents' overlooked aspects of their vital roles. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Christopher McDowell.
Thank you, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here.
And for our listeners who are unfamiliar with Hope Reformed Baptist Church, I don't know how they could be since they hear your ads every day on my show, but you might tell them something that's not contained in the ads. Let our listeners know about that.
Oh, I'm not sure if I can, without being, in order to be concise, I don't know if I can go beyond it, but we're a Reformed Baptist Church. We were established back in 1996. We rented facilities for roughly 20 years. A few years ago, we were finally able to purchase a building in Coram, and so we have a lovely church building and a fellowship hall, and so we've been now established here in Coram for the last 3 years. But we're a 1689 confessional church. That's our statement of faith. That's basically how we're identified, is seeking to maintain the doctrines that have been upheld for hundreds of years, but actually going back thousands to the time of Christ. So we seek to be serious about the word, being able to teach and make disciples, and it's a place of great fellowship, great unity, and just a love for each other and a love for the lost.
Yes, you definitely have a tight-knit congregation. I love visiting that church. It's a home away from home for me, and I always feel very welcomed and relaxed and amongst people who I love and who love me back. And it's such an honor to have Hope Reformed Baptist Church as a primary advertiser on this program. And I can never express to all of you the depth of my gratitude towards your financial sacrifices for me every month.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We're always happy to support a brother, and especially with all the good work you do in the ministry of Iron Sharpens Iron.
And it was such a joy to see you and Pastor Rich Jensen and Pastor Bruce Bennett from Word of Truth Church in Medford come all the way out from Long Island over 5 hours to my most recent Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon in Loysville, Pennsylvania, and to see you guys there really made the day even more of a phenomenal blessing to me.
Oh, praise God. It was a blessing for us, too. Well worth the drive. I've been actually wanting to go to one of your luncheons for a couple of years, and so I was glad to be able to make it out there for the first time, and I still don't know where to put all the books that you your co-host pastor, so we are much obliged.
Oh, my pleasure. And next time, I know that one of your pastors, one of your fellow pastors, Anthony Uvinio, longtime friend of mine, he has made a commitment, unless God has other plans, to be out at my next Iron Sharpens Zion Radio Pastors Luncheon with you on September 22nd, when Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries is scheduled to be my next Iron Sharpens Zion Radio Pastors Luncheon speaker. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yes, us too. We're eagerly anticipating. Can't wait till September.
Yeah, and let me know if you ever wind up rescheduling that conference with Gary DeMar that you folks have intended to have, and it was, yeah, I believe, COVID that prevented it, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, COVID hit and messed up all the travel plans, and just even assembling was a challenge. So it made having a conference difficult. But
yeah, that was like in the early days of COVID, when a lot of people didn't even know what it was.
Yeah, it threw everyone for a loop. So now the time has passed. Hopefully things will get back to some, you know, some ability to gather together for that conference. So we're still looking forward to it.
Well, if anybody wants to find out more about Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, go to hopereformedli.net. Hopereformedli.net. And we are speaking about something that's a very important issue today, and that is Christian parents' overlooked aspect of their vital roles. Tell us when this subject of Christian parenting became such an enormous focus of yours, something that really gets your engines running and something that you got really actively involved in guiding parents to fulfill the roles that God has provided for them with their children.
Probably about 14 years ago. For us, my wife and I have been married. We were married back in 99, so going on 23 years. But we have four daughters, and after our youngest was born, our two oldest were in public school, and they got as far as first grade and second grade. And the Lord really put it on our heart to homeschool. And that was a major turning point in our life. For anyone who's ever talked to me any length of time, I usually bring up homeschooling. But part of the reason is it was a catalyst for us just to have a major personal revival. We were, faithful attenders of church, and our desire was, you know, whenever the doors were open, we wanted our family to be there and the kids to be there. You know, we knew the dangers of public school and, you know, evolution. And I mean, this, things have gotten even much worse in the last 14 years as far as what they're trying to push now. But, you know, we were both public school graduates. We knew what was being taught. So we were concerned about the education that they were receiving. So we decided to homeschool, and kind of the weight of the responsibility of their education, their academic, you know, education. We couldn't blame it on the schools or the teachers if something happened, you know, if they didn't, you know, turn out being smart enough or knowing what they need to know. And so we were scrambling and looking for all these resources and support to help us, you know, teach our children. And fortunately for us, there was a lot of homeschool ministries out there that help parents talk about curriculum and all the other aspects involved with educating your children at home. But as we learned about that, the understanding of the weight of our responsibility with their spiritual education really began to hit us, and we saw it with renewed clarity. I mean, we always want to have our girls in the church and part of the programs and doing all that, but we recognized just how much it was our responsibility to be instilling in them the things that they needed to know about God and about His Word and about living for Him. So when that hit us, again, it was a personal revival for us. and it just changed everything about how we went about life. We, you know, we looked at everything with new eyes. We were trying to rethink things, see, you know, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? You know, we didn't want to take anything for granted. And when we saw the difference that it started making in our family as we changed things, it made us passionate to share with other believing families, you know, the benefits of homeschooling and the necessity of discipling our children, because I was always active in the youth programs, you know, the youth group and everything. My wife was involved with Awana. You know, we did Sunday school, nursery, all the various things. But we saw what troubled us was having been in, you know, part of youth groups as teenagers and then being leaders in them later on. We were seeing children who were growing up in the church, families who were committed to Christ, parents, you know, fathers were deacons and everything. I mean, they were invested in the church. But they also had their entire educational upbringing in the government schools and in the culture that goes along with that. And we saw that it was causing problems, you know, that the schools and the worldliness associated with it seemed to have a deeper, stronger grasp on these children than the church, you know, and their understanding of scripture and how it applies to their lives. And so seeing that contrast is when it became a passion for me to try to share with parents about our responsibilities as fathers, as mothers, you know, raising our children. You know, obviously only the Lord can change the heart. Only the Lord can save our children. But we have this responsibility and obligation to teach them about the Lord. And so it was starting roughly 14 years ago where that really became something that was just constantly on my heart.
Yeah, now what is the strength or even the necessity of parents doing more than dad being the breadwinner, him coming home and perhaps having a brief devotional with the kids after dinner before they go to sleep, and mom being the homemaker and greeting the kids when they come home from school, and being loving and caring, but allowing probably a great percentage of the time, they're allowing the church, the pastor, the youth groups. In fact, we even had a program recently where my guest was being very critical of youth groups to begin with. But they are letting other people in the church really fulfill the majority of the roles of raising the kids up in the faith and instructing them. And so what is the strength and perhaps the necessity of the parents having more hands-on commitment and activity in those areas of discipling their children and really rolling up their sleeves and being involved in worship and discipleship and catechism in their own homes in addition to what goes on in the church?
Yeah, I mean, it's first off, it's just following the, you know, the foundational teaching of Scripture. When you think about Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." Our entire day, we should be pointing our children to Christ. We should be pointing our children to the Word of God as our standard of how we live, how we conduct our lives, why we do what we do. And so first and foremost, I mean, Scripture tells us plainly, this is what we're supposed to do as the people of God. You know, when he's establishing Israel in the nation, you know, in the land of Canaan, the promised land, one of the things he tells them right off the bat, he's giving them his word. He's giving them everything they need to know about him, you know, to that point. And he's saying, teach these things to your children. You know, and we get into Judges and it says, you know, Joshua and those elders passed away. They died. And then the next generation rose up and they didn't know the Lord. And we constantly find them in a sin cycle of rebellion against God, idolatry, and then there's judgment. So we have Deuteronomy chapter 6 that points out the imperative of teaching our children. I point parents to Psalm 78 where he says, you know, that will open my mouth in a parable, utter dark things from old. Verse 4, we will not hide them from our children, but tell them to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord, his might, and the wonders that he has done. And he goes on talking about, you know, commanded our fathers to teach their children, the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, arise and tell them to their children. Psalm 78 is a great example of having a multi-generational vision of passing down the truth of God and his word to all the succeeding generations. And, you know, looking at these as just a couple of examples, it's clear that only parents logistically have the ability to talk to their kids about the Lord in their house when they're walking by the way, when they're, you know, when they're laying down, when they're rising up. They have the ability throughout the day to be speaking of God and his word. And so, first of all, logistically, they have the most access to their children. And whenever they have access to their children, they should be sharing the truth with them. The other strength of it is we live in a society of institutions, and everyone thinks I'm not equipped to do anything. You know, I have my little niche that I know how to do. I can fix cars, or, you know, I can teach economics or whatever, but I can't tell my kids about the faith. You know, I can't give them a full academic education. I can't disciple them in the Word of God. So, you know, we send our kids to the schools to get their academics. We send them to church to get, you know, knowledge about the Bible and about holy living. And when our kids see that, and if they don't see the example at home, they start to question, how important is it really? You know, mom and dad send me to church, but they're not going to church. You know, they tell me at church I should be reading my Bible and praying, but I never see mom and dad reading the Bible or praying, except when they're at church, you know. You know, we send them to public schools, and they feign neutrality, but they go 12 years with telling your children everything that they need to know for life and never include God, which gives the lesson, unless they're speaking badly about God or they're speaking about the other religions that are false religions and indoctrinating them in that. But basically the takeaway for the child is, I know everything I need to know about life, and God's not part of it. He's just something that we do on Sunday. So the strength of parents discipling their children is, one, it's obedience to God in the first place. Two, logistically, they're the ones who have the access and the ability to do it. And three, if they don't do it, even when they send their children to church to get that education at Sunday school, Awana, youth group, what have you, they're actually undermining everything that they're trying to get their kids to learn there, because they're not evidencing it at home.
Now, what do you think are the primary areas that have been either abandoned by your average Christian parents, or the average Christian parents never got involved in them to begin with? The primary areas on parenting in their lives that they are neglecting or overlooking?
First and foremost, sometimes parents, they're professing Christ, You know, they're telling their kids, you know, we go to church on Sundays, but they're not demonstrating anything else about the Christian life to their kids throughout the week. They're not opening up the Word of God. They're not praying. They're not praying for their kids. They're not praying with their kids. They're just not doing those things to set an example to their children. Well, how do we live as Christians? And then it kind of goes out from there. The education of our children has always been the parents' primary responsibility. It's okay. I'm big on homeschooling, but our church is looking to support classical Christian schools and seek to even start one in the future, recognizing that sometimes it's just the circumstances of life make it almost impossible for, parents to homeschool their children. And so we believe that's something where the church should come alongside and provide, you know, an alternative to the public school, the government school. And they should be a support for, the families of the church to do that. But a parent has the responsibility to instill in their children, God's word, God's standard, and a parent has to protect their child from those who would seek to steal their children. I mean, the people of Israel were told not to intermarry, you know, with the surrounding nations because they were idolaters. You know, if someone came to Israel and they wanted to follow, you know, the one true God, the God of Israel, you know, in that case, if they came in, then there would be allowances made for marriage. But to intermarry with people who were of a different faith, knowing what that would do to that spouse, all the succeeding generations, they would be led astray. And so for a parent to send their child off to an education that is hostile to their God, to their worldview, that's going to undermine everything good that they're trying to instill in their children. A parent has to be aware of that, and either try to avoid it altogether or combat it by being very involved in their child's education, knowing what's being taught. You know, I was very cage-stage when I first started homeschooling. And I would rail against the government schools. And I have nothing good to say about the government schools, but I don't want parents who are in desperate situations who don't have a choice to feel like, oh, you know, all hope is lost, or they don't think I love my children because I don't homeschool. No, I just recognize that their work is cut out for them, though. You know, they need to be actively involved, knowing what their kids are being taught, and they need to be combating that with truth. And so the parents' authority and responsibility for their children's education is sometimes just given over, and it's just a status quo. Well, everyone is doing that. Everyone is sending their kids to this school. Or they're sending their kids to Christian school, and they think, well, it's a Christian school, so what could possibly be wrong? You know, not knowing that not all the teachers are saved. Sometimes they're using state curriculum, you know, because it's cheaper. They have no idea what's going on there, but they're just assuming, I made this good choice, so everything's fine and my responsibility is off my shoulders.
Same thing with Christian counseling. You have to be very careful what kind of Christian counseling firm or counselor you seek if you are looking for one, because there are some pretty insane things going on in Christian counselors' offices that have nothing to do with the scriptures.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a lot of pop psychology. And they'll throw in a verse to kind of baptize it, but it's so contrary to the principles of God's word. It's destructive in nature, yeah. No, we need to be first ourselves students of the word. And, you know, you might have a parent who's a new believer who hasn't had much good teaching. But one of my favorite men who was instrumental in helping me navigate homeschooling and understanding my role as a father, you know, Voddie Baucham, you know, and
oh yeah,
he was such an encouragement, you know, and the things that he would talk about. But he says, like, when you're, you know, in terms of family worship and stuff, and and going through the scriptures with your wife and your children, and you feel like, well, I don't know. I don't know enough of the word. He goes, you only have to be a chapter ahead. read a chapter the night before. If you have a good study Bible or commentary to maybe help you out as you read through it, as you try to understand what you can glean from, the teacher that God has blessed the church with, as long as, and Dr. White would tell you, make sure you're careful about the commentaries that you're picking up, because some of them can be destructive. But if you're part of a good church, look to them for perhaps some advice in that area. But you're passing on to your kids what you're learning. So even if you're new in the faith, even if you haven't had good teaching before, you start today and get started and start, instilling that in your children and just recognizing God has placed you over them. He's given them to you. Children are a gift from the Lord, and he's going to help to equip you, to qualify you, to do what he's called you to do. I was just mentioning last night during the study how the Lord chose Abraham, and talking about that back in Genesis. He says, I chose him that he might command his children after me. Not that, oh, I'll choose him because he will, or he's already going to do that. God choosing Abraham made Abraham able to teach his children the ways of God. And so if God has called you to parenthood, and if you have children, he's called you, he will equip you to do what you need to do.
And we have to go to our first break right now. If anybody has a question for Pastor Christopher McDowell, you may submit it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence, if you are outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we could readily see that anything involving parents and children might evoke a question that is a very sensitive and intimately private one. So you may feel free to remain anonymous, but please, if it's just a general question, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pastor Christopher McDowell right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in his holy word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and his doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
And you can help instruct your children in the Christian faith with solidly reformed material by subscribing to Ignited by the Word. And at the same time, you'll be helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio remain on the air. They are one of our largest sponsors, and you can find out more at ignitedbytheword.org, ignitedbytheword.org. And today, if you just tuned in, our guest for the entire program is Christopher McDowell, one of three pastors alongside Pastor Rich Jensen and Pastor Anthony Uvinio at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York. An advertiser here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio that helps us remain on the air, as all our advertisers do. And I have known and loved this congregation for decades, actually, ever since it was first established as a church. I knew Pastor Rich Jensen before he even had planted this church. So I can give nothing but the very highest recommendations for Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York. And again, their website is hopereformedli.net, hopereformedli.net. We have an anonymous listener who is saying, I have had a little bit of a dispute going on between my spouse and I over whether homeschooling or a very fine Christian school would be more appropriate for the education of our children. Is one preferred by you, or are they both equal in your opinion in the sight of God?
I would, in my opinion, I prefer homeschooling, but I have a sincere, genuine respect and appreciation for classical Christian education. I think it might depend on the family. If you're both of the mindset that you want your children to have the best education, and you understand it should be Christ-centered, then you're on the right path. You know, if your pastor knows your situation well, if there's a reason why you feel like maybe a school would be better than homeschooling, maybe as someone who knows you, he might be able to point you in one direction or the other, knowing the context, knowing your particular circumstances. But for me, I prefer homeschooling for a couple of reasons. One, you know your child best, and your ability to teach them, children are different. They have, we have the government schools and even Christian schools because they're trying to accomplish something on a bigger scale, so sometimes it's a lot of one size fits all. But some children learn better with certain styles over others, and you can tailor make their curriculum in a way that will meet their learning style, so they'll learn most efficiently and effectively. It's hard. You can't discipline other children the way they need it the most. And when you're dealing with many children, even trying to let parents know about bad habits and problematic behavior, they can't discipline your child the way you can, and you're not always going to find out about some of those problem areas. one of the benefits of homeschooling, one thing I would always encourage my wife, who did the lion's share of homeschooling as I was out working, was character before academics, you know. So if a child was misbehaving, was not cooperating, you know, their heart attitude needed to be dealt with then and there, and that's a priority over everything else. You know, I don't want my child to, you know, meet all the high honor rolls and have all the academic accolades and have a rebellious heart that was never dealt with. So I always encourage her to deal with the heart issues right away, and it's far more efficient in raising our children and disciplining our children. And the younger you start with them, the easier it'll be as they get older, because if you can establish correct biblical discipline, you know, there'll be less and less need for it if you're consistent as they get older. And no one else can do that but a parent. So for that reason, I prefer homeschooling. And one of the things I wanted to mention at some point here, talking about having our child's heart is a major necessity, and most parents don't recognize the need for it, and they feel overwhelmed, because there's so many, you know, there's their friends and, you know, all their peers, and there might be coaches and teachers and youth leaders, and you know, who knows, you know, who that child might be favoring, and they have eyes for that person. They're more quick to follow that person's example than their own parents. But homeschooling, you have the ability to have more time with your child. You can have more influence on them. You can gain their heart. You know, when we're telling new homeschool families, if the kids are somewhat reluctant, some kids can't wait to homeschool, some kids are like, no, I have all my friends, I don't want to. You know, we say, go out and do fun things with them. Show them the flexibility and the fun that you can have as a homeschooler, as opposed to going to, you know, the government school in this case. And just win their heart, work on that relationship. And when you're homeschooling, you have that ability to have their heart, to be the one who has major influence, as Scripture calls us to. You know, I shared before about Deuteronomy 6 and Psalm 78, but if you look through Proverbs, you know, particularly the first several chapters, it's the admonition of a father speaking to his son, saying, you know, listen to my instruction and listen to your mother. Says, give me your heart, my son, let your eyes observe my ways. I just feel like homeschooling gives you a lot more opportunity to do that. You know, if some people are really hard pressed, a classical Christian education, I think, would be, you know, also a worthwhile and useful endeavor, because you're hopefully finding a school that has, you know, solid Christ-centered education, and it's actual real education, you know, that's going to teach them the things that they need to know. It's not just indoctrinating them in the fields of what our today's society is modeling.
Well,
I want you to be as thorough as you can. Well, one of the things that you revealed in your answer is that although you personally believe that homeschooling is the best way, and that would be, if you take into consideration everything else you said, that would be in ideal situations. I'm assuming by some of what you said that you are conceding that sometimes a good solid Christian school, even like the classical Christian school that you are considering to develop as a church at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Corum, and also as your fellow pastor, Rich Jensen, was a headmaster at a fine Christian school which still exists, now headed by Steve Schultz in Merrick, Long Island, Grace Christian Academy in Merrick, Long Island. You obviously, if you take the full context of what you said, believe that sometimes it is best and the better option for parents to admit their children in a Christian school because of their own circumstances.
Yeah, there are circumstances, you know, with sometimes it's work, sometimes it's going on with the spouses. I mean, I've spoken to other pastors who, knowing a family situation and knowing, you know, the growth and sanctifications that was still being worked out in a family. Like, I don't know if they would be able to, you know, if they have the discipline to educate their child the way they need to. So, and with that parent recognizing their own weaknesses, and sometimes, you know, a school system, you know, might be better. You know, and so there could be a number of reasons why a Christian school would be the way to go. So I certainly don't want to knock, you know, I know we have good brethren, you know, in those schools. I know we have good brethren sending their children to those schools. And I've seen, you know, the education that some of those kids are getting. And it really is very impressive, you know. And, you know, when I talk about disciplining your child and discipling them, you're not completely thwarted with them in the school system. I mean, in their early formative years, when they're very young, you know, teaching them to respect authority and respond rightly, and then being in communication with their teachers and stuff to see if there's any issues that need to be resolved. Plus, you know, their sin nature will come out in the off hours when they're not at school, and you know, you'll see things, heart attitude, heart issues that need to be addressed. So you're not going to be unable to address those things. So I don't want anyone to think, oh, well, if I send my child to a classical Christian school, they're not going to be disciplined. No, I mean, of course you're going to have opportunities outside of that. I'm just saying, I think it's easier, you know, when you're homeschooling because you're seeing it firsthand.
Well, thank you, Anonymous. And if you are a first-time questioner, you have won a free New American Standard Bible, compliments of the publishers of the NASB, and also compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. We'll actually be shipping that Bible out to you if you submit to us via email your full name and mailing address, obviously, since you remain anonymous. We will not divulge that information on the air. So thank you again for your excellent question. We have another first-time questioner, I believe, and these are actually questioners. Miguel and Tiffany from Barnstead, New Hampshire. I'm almost certain that they are first-time questioners. Miguel and Tiffany ask, there isn't much out there in the way of Christian blended families now in union as a result of biblical divorces on how to navigate the challenges of teaching children diligently in the Word and with dealing with the negative influences they are succumbed to when they are away with their other parents. What insight would you share in navigating such challenges as we prepare for such a union together? So I'm assuming a blended family means that you have folks who are getting married or already married, but they were previously married to other people, and perhaps the children of either or both spouses came from those other individuals that they were once married to. So it adds a complication to the issue. I'm assuming I'm correctly understanding Miguel and Tiffany, but do you have an answer to that?
Yeah, it's one of those areas where you're really going to be looking to God's grace to help you navigate. So it's an opportunity to be in prayer a great deal, and seeking the Word and seeking the encouragement of, you know, the local church body that they're part of for, you know, prayer support and encouragement. Because there's, I think of, you know, the people of Israel and their time, their exile in Babylon, you know, and there's still a responsibility on their part to be faithful as they can in very difficult circumstances. And we know that God gives grace in difficult circumstances. So it's one of those things where, in addition to prayer, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, an ex-spouse who doesn't agree with the education that you want to give your children, is not supporting you or is undermining you. You really look to the Lord to help, but children who are caught in the middle, particularly if they're not believers themselves, but even if they are, and they're young and they're going between two people whom they love, you know, who are at odds with one another in a conflict, you want to work on your relationship as much as you possibly can. You know, when I mentioned before about, you know, for the new homeschooling family, you know, the children were reluctant to be homeschooled. They had their peers, they had their friends, they enjoyed school and they didn't want to give it up. I stressed, you know, and we always encourage these parents, you know, to work on having your children's heart, you know, as much as you can. Work on that relationship. The things that you can do for fun, to show them how much, you know, it can be enjoyable, the flexibility. But if you're struck, you know, I know lots of, unfortunately, couples that are dealing with, you know, the one parent's a believer, one parent's not. And it's hard. It's a very tricky area to navigate, for either the husband or the wife. You know, I mean, husband has authority and stuff and sometimes has, you know, more say. But depending on which one is the believer and which one is not, but basically you want to pour into your child as much as possible and recognize that God is the one who has to change the heart. You know, there might be legal things that you have to go through, you know, with the courts. There might be agreements that need to be made. But you want to work on your relationship with your child as much as possible, pouring into them, looking for conversations where you can find common ground. Because a child is going to need their parent. They're going to run into circumstances where they want advice or they're not sure what to do. And, you know, if you have their heart, if you've been, you know, showing them that you love them, praying for them, you'll have opportunities to speak truth to them. Hopefully you'll have opportunities to influence how the education goes. But it is a tricky area and it can depend on the specific circumstances of that.
And if you want to pick up where we left off on that same subject, we have to go to our break right now. Folks, this is our midway break. It's longer than the other breaks because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because they are required by the FCC to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio geographically to Lake City, Florida, and they do so with their own public service announcements and other local things that they air. While they do that, we air our globally heard commercials, so please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you can provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to them. That's going to encourage them to keep renewing their advertising contracts with us. Even when you can't purchase anything from them or use their services, you can at least contact them and thank them for sponsoring this program if you do love this program. Also, send in your questions to Christopher McDowell on Christian education and also Christian parenting. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back after these messages.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school, and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more, or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free, and put good literature in your children's hands.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundsen, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com, or call 717-258-4688, 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundsen, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please never forget, folks, to make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs, with Mother's Day coming up, Father's Day, wedding anniversaries, wedding celebrations, condolence gifts that you want to give to someone you love because they have lost a loved one and they are grieving and mourning. All kinds of celebrations and important occasions that would compel you to buy a gift to not only encourage and strengthen the faith of your brothers and sisters in Christ, but also perhaps even, God willing, to lead a lost person to salvation. Go to solid-ground-books.com frequently and purchase generously, always mentioning that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They are a vital advertiser, and were they to cancel their advertising campaign with us, we may have to seriously consider going off the air. They are that important to our existence through the finances they provide. So please purchase as often as you can books that will encourage and lead the lost to Christ at solid-ground-books.com. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by buying books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping a very important advertiser happy, You're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and publish nothing but the finest Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our present day, featuring such brilliant minds as author Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. At solid-ground-books.com, always mention Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to Christopher McDowell, one of three pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, we have a couple of important announcements to make. First of all, folks, if you really love this show, you don't want it to disappear, we really need your help financially, so please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, mailing in a physical check the old-fashioned way through your local postal service, well, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail in a check made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please remember, I never want my listeners punishing their own churches where there are members financially by blessing us financially. In other words, don't give your own church where you're a member less money that you're accustomed to giving them in order to give Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a financial gift. Please don't do that. And also, please, if you're really struggling to survive at this time in your life, I don't want my listeners plunging their families into further financial peril if they really can't afford to make a monetary gift of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio right now. Those two things are commands of God, providing for church and providing for family. Providing for my radio show is not a command of God. But if you do love this show, you listen to it every day, either live or through downloading the recordings afterwards, listening via podcast, or at least you listen frequently and benefit from the program, you look forward to the program, you share the free MP3s with others. Well, if that is the case with you and you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for sporting events, concerts, fine dining, fast food dining, recreation, all kinds of frivolous reasons, and you have money collecting interest. Well, if you don't want us to go away, please share some of that money with us so that we can remain on the air. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally sound, theologically solid, local Christian church, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of churches in that category, so I can help you find a church, God willing, possibly even within minutes from your own home, as I have done with many listeners all over the world in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience. So if that's your position, you don't have a church in that category of your own as a home, or if you have loved ones who are without a solid church home, send me an email to chrisaronson@gmail.com, chrisaronson@gmail.com, and put, "I need a church," in the subject line. Also, that is the email address where you can send in a question to our guest today, Christopher McDowell, one of three pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York. And we are discussing a very important theme today, a theme that could even be considered one of the most important areas in the lives of Christians, especially if they are parents. And that is the theme, Christian parents overlooked aspects of their vital roles. Again, our email address is chrisaronson@gmail.com. chrisaronson@gmail.com. And I forgot to mention to Miguel and Tiffany in Barnstead, New Hampshire, if you are indeed first-time questioners, please send me your full mailing address in Barnstead, New Hampshire, so that cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, can ship out to you a free New American Standard Bible. We have another anonymous listener who says, "I have dear friends who send their children to Roman Catholic parochial schools, even though they are theologically reformed, Protestant, and evangelical. They say that there are no good, solid evangelical schools near them. Do you accept this as an alternative?
I want to be clear. This isn't about my preferences. And I think there's, God gives us a lot of grace. So on the one hand, I want to trumpet the benefits of homeschooling and a classical Christian education, but I also don't want the weight of condemnation on parents who are struggling to be as faithful as they can, knowing what they know about God and His Word and knowing their circumstances. So I can't insert my thoughts and opinions to every particular situation. I know sometimes parents have sent their children to Catholic schools because they feel like the education is better than what the government school is offering.
And their own local government school might be notorious for violence or something.
Yeah. So there might be, again, there might be circumstances where they are unable to homeschool, and if there's no suitable school out there, this might be something where I don't know what's involved with. I mean, I know people who have gone to Roman Catholic schools. I don't know what's involved with some of the teachings or the expectations. They make them pray the rosary. I don't know. But I think wherever you send your children to school, whether it be the government school or a Catholic school or even a classical Christian school, it's still your obligation to be responsible for your children's education, which means you need to know what's being taught, and you need to be speaking with your children to address areas that, if you have disagreements, hopefully with the government school, if they're teaching your children, but a Catholic school or if there's a Christian school, where, sometimes a classical Christian school is not available and they're sending it to their children to another Christian school, but, perhaps the doctrine that they hold to, you wouldn't necessarily agree with. If you're sending your children there, it's still your obligation to know what they're being taught and having discussions with your children.
Oh, yeah.
About what's being taught, what you agree with, what you don't agree with, why you don't agree with it, so that they're aware. I mean, as I mentioned before, I'm a public school graduate. I spent my entire education was in the public school, and I even went to a community college and got my associates there. One of the best things my father did for me, he became a believer around the time I was born. But homeschooling wasn't even a thought. Most people weren't talking about it then. There was just a few pockets of it happening. Christian school was just not affordable. But he was always having conversations with us about the Word of God. He was bringing us to church. He was bringing us to creation seminars, and giving us good information so that when I'm hearing about things like evolution, I know that it's wrong, and I can answer some of the questions, and I can, even have a discussion with the science teacher or my fellow students about it. So he poured into us to give us all the tools that he could so that we would be able to, get through public school, but not fall into the deception of all the lies that the public school will teach our children. Back then, evolution was the main cause for concern. Now, my goodness, with the LGBT agenda and trans and pronouns and there's so much stuff, just being instilled from an early age. I mean, most parents, they don't want to talk to their children about sex, puberty. They want years to talk about that. And yet in kindergarten classes, children are being indoctrinated about what a family looks like, can look like, should look like.
They're promoting transgenderism and every other form of sexual perversion in classes as young as kindergarten age. And it just reminds me, sorry to interrupt you, I just want to promote a documentary that you must listen to and watch. all of you who are listening, and even get your church or your Christian school or your civic organization to sponsor some kind of a community gathering where you're inviting parents to see this documentary. It's called The Mind Polluters. I interviewed one of the participants in this documentary, Audrey Werner. If you go to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio website and go to the archives, podcast, past shows, it's titled, that section of the website, you could type in Audrey, A-U-D-R-E-Y. I believe she is the only person I've ever interviewed with that first name. And our recent interview will come up, as well as all my other interviews with Audrey Werner. And you will hear more about this powerful and disturbing documentary, The Mind Polluters. And you could also go to their direct website, fearlessfeatures.org. That's fearlessfeatures.org/The Mind Polluters. That's /The Mind Polluters. And you will, if this doesn't get you to remove your children from government schools, I don't know if anything will. This is mind-blowing. This is there's satanic and twisted and perverse stuff going on out there. And I just highly recommend this. And in fact, I'm also in the process of arranging another interview on this documentary featuring the couple that has actually created it. So this also features the likes of Ken Ham in this documentary and other very capable spokespersons on this issue. The couple that created this documentary are Mark and Amber Archer, and I hope to have them on the show as well very soon. But I'm sorry for interrupting you there. I just thought that was an important moment to interject that.
No, that's great. I hadn't heard of that, and I'll be sure to check it out. One documentary that we were part of a homeschool support group. It's New York State LEA, a Loving Education at Home, and we were
yes. We
became part of a local chapter. And eventually, the chapter grew so big, we had to part ways and set up a few different chapters, so that it wasn't overwhelming for the people who were trying to lead it and support, you know. And so we started our own chapter out in Eastport. And at the time, every summer, our family, we would host this, movie. It's a full length documentary called Indoctrination by, Colin Gunn. And it's about public schools and the decline of Christianity in America. Because a lot of times we get, you know, families who were coming in who were homeschooling, and generally it was the moms who were more on board and eager to do it, and the dads were either indifferent or they were just like, okay, you know, somewhat reluctant but willing to go along with it. And they watch that video and they say, oh, I get it now. You know, and they got a clear picture of the danger. And that came out a number of years ago, and the way things have gotten steadily worse, I can only imagine what Mind Polluters is revealing.
Oh, it'll make your skin crawl. It's absolutely,
yeah.
It's grotesque. And these defiant, perverse minions of Satan are, they don't want to just be tolerated. They want to program your children to not only tolerate the presence of this stuff, they want them to participate and celebrate this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not, this is no conspiracy theory. You will see in this documentary clips, video clips of the very curriculum that these leftists are pushing on innocent little children. And so they will show clearly what these people on the left are saying and doing themselves in these classrooms. So
there is no neutrality. You know, it was never neutral. It was never about just you know, a neutral education. It's just now that we see that the gloves are off, and you know, they were more subtle about it in the past, but it's just gotten blatant and in your face. And most people are so used to the status quo that they figure, you know, the teachers' unions and those setting the agenda here, that all the power is in their hands, you know, mm-hmm. because who wants to take on the responsibility of, well, you're going to take your kid out, you're going to be responsible, you know, you don't have the education, mm-hmm. which is, you know, of course, ridiculous. It's unnecessary. You have what you need, and there's curriculums out there that will to help you. But, you know, and we know, you know, there can be Christians who are in the field of education who are teachers, but you're still working with a curriculum that, you know, they have to struggle along with because, you know, it's in the curriculum. It's what's being taught one way or another. It's coming through.
Now, one thing going back to there being rare occasions, and I'm assuming you would agree that they should be rare, where evangelical, Bible-believing, born-again parents are sending their children to a Roman Catholic parochial school. Don't you think that they have to really be clear with their children that all or at least the majority of those that are involved in their instruction there are not born-again brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have to prepare them not to involve themselves in idolatry if these schools even permit students from outside of their religion to not participate in things like you were mentioning before, the rosary, praying to Mary and the saints and idols. You know, don't you think that you have to be clear with your kids? Remember, this school is not a representation of where mommy and daddy worship. Many of them are very nice people, and we think that you're going to get educated in many ways in a superior manner there. In fact, I know, like when I went to Roman Catholic school before I was saved, I went there for 8 years. I have nothing but fond memories of that, by the way. I know that there was definitely a superior instruction in regard to penmanship and being articulate in regard to grammar. And I really believe I did get a superior education than my friends who were in government schools. And they did. A minority of the time indoctrinate kids about specific Roman Catholic teachings, both those that are dogmatic and those that were the opinion of the nuns. I don't even know how many nuns are in Catholic schools today teaching. But when I was in Catholic school, I don't know if it's gotten worse or better or how diverse of a situation you have from school to school. But the science class in my elementary school, my Roman Catholic elementary school, St. Martin of Tours in Amityville, we were taught evolution. We were taught Darwinian evolution. And we were even told by our particular science teacher, don't listen to the nuns about Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden and all that stuff. There was a fairy tales. We were told that in our... In our science classes, and I would be shocked if things... This was in the late 60s and 70s, and I would be shocked if things got better in the parochial schools in the Catholic Church, especially when you consider who their pope is now. But I think that there has got to be a lot of caution taken with this, because too many Reformed people think that Roman Catholics share our gospel and the differences are minor. They think that smells and bells and robes and statues are really the only things separating us, and that's not true at all. They have a different gospel dogmatically, even though I believe that there are Roman Catholics who are saved because they have embraced the true gospel, but for some reason, and I don't believe they're ever good reasons, but for some reason they remain in the Roman Catholic Church. But in an official status, if you're talking about what they dogmatically teach, they have a false gospel. And they have for centuries, since the Council of Trent, declared that we have a false gospel. So it can't be the same gospel.
Yeah, it's surprising that someone who's reformed would think that. I mean, I know, you know, there's a lot of confusion, and unfortunately there's too many in the what you would call the Protestant church, evangelicals, who really don't understand the distinctions between us and Rome. You would think someone holding to reformed.
you would think, well, look at J.I. Packer. J.I. Packer understood the gospel. He wrote brilliantly and clearly about the gospel, and yet he was an ecumenist. He signed the Evangelicals and Catholics Together document. And even when he apparently made some kind of a public apology about that after being pressured by R.C. Sproul and others, he wound up signing another document that was subsequent to that by the same group of people like Chuck Colson and other ecumenists. And the books that Dr. Packer would endorse by apostate Roman Catholics like Peter Kreeft and so on, I mean, just mind-boggling. I don't understand it.
I would tell parents, while I'm trying to, you know, be balanced in my response, and again, you know, because I don't want to put a weight of condemnation on parents who are in desperate situations. My biggest concern, and would get me in a lot of trouble, because I would rail against government schools, and I would rail against a parochial school, you know, Catholic parochial school as well, because they're not teaching our children what they should be teaching. You know, and if you're in a desperate situation, it's one thing, and God is gracious, you know, and you can work to combat the education that they're getting. You know, talking about the idolatry of praying to the saints, praying those things, parents should make it clear with their children, but they should know from the school. They should be interacting. What kind of things will you be expecting of my child, the student, to do, to take part in? What sort of things do you do? Because my child is not going to participate in this, that, or the other thing. So the parents should be, you know, engage with the school and knowing what's expected, what's not expected, and drawing lines and boundaries, and they should be instructing their children. But if they can find, my biggest concern is too many parents don't even think about the possibility. You know, and oftentimes where there's a will, there's a way. And this is why I speak about, you know, the classical Christian school and the benefits of it, and the fact that I believe the church, you know, we focus all of our time and energy and money into programs for the youth. And if you really want it to be efficient and effective with the resources that God has given us to steward, create a school or support a school, and give kids scholarships. If their parents are like, you know, they're both working just to make it, help them educate their children the way they need to be educated so that they don't have to go to the government school. They don't have to go to the Roman Catholic school. You know, they don't have to go to the Muslim school that opens up, but it's got a really great math program. You know, whatever it is, we should understand the priority and our responsibility. And I think too many parents are just used to the status quo. And so I think it's something that we should be talking about a little bit more, and the churches, you know, as a body, should be working together to support parents with that kind of education. You know, my concern with youth ministries and all that stuff is that we look to other people to lead our children spiritually, and our children don't look to us, and we don't try to set standards for them. We don't try to lead them and guide them in the faith and disciple them and mentor them the way we ought to. And that's our responsibility. That's our obligation before God, is to raise our children. You know, it's okay to have help and support. You know, we do have, you know, the church is a body, and we're there to, you know, build each other up, you know, in Christ. But that doesn't mean we, you know, we abdicate our responsibility to our children, to teach them what we ought to teach them. And so we want to make sure that we're doing that. You know, education is a big part of it. You know, you're talking about years of their life, you know, because of the requirements of the state and the government of how many years they need to do it. But there's everything else going on in the day. You know, what sort of standards are we setting for our children? Do we do family worship? Do we pray with them? Do we read with them? Do we discuss the scriptures with them? Are we mindful of, you know, the worldview that our children are developing, what kind of lens do they have to look at the world? What are they reading? What are they listening to? What are they watching on TV, the movies? You know, we give our kids smartphones and stuff like that to keep them occupied, to give us peace and quiet, and yet they have access to pornography, or they have access to just all these things that are giving them a worldview, and it's unchecked by us. You know, we have to be mindful. I didn't lose you, did I?
Oh, no, I'm just listening and absorbing everything you're saying. We have another anonymous listener, a lot of anonymous listeners today. Another anonymous listener who says, in the Reformed church where I am, and most of my favorite Reformed teachers and writers, everyone seems to be extremely opposed to the concept of introducing fun into a worship service. But at the same time, I realize that there are things that Christians can participate in and enjoy outside of corporate worship that are still godly and honoring to God that do include fun. You mentioned before how homeschooling parents have more of an opportunity to import fun into the education of your children, and if you could be more detailed in your explanation of this.
Sure. To address just what was mentioned before about introducing fun into the worship service, I mean, we've developed a consumer mindset among churches. The seeker church is seeker-friendly. We forget that when we're coming to church as a body on the Lord's Day, we're coming to worship God and not ourselves.
And we got to remember the story of Nadab and Abihu, too, who offered strange incense. There's no mention that I'm aware of that they were intentionally doing something sacrilegious or malicious. They just used their own incense, and God devoured them with flames.
Right.
Not that God does that today, but his view of false worship is no different. He is an unchanging God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's what I mean by people who import things into a worship service that are intended to be fun. I mean, I've even seen ridiculous videos of church services where you see in these massive crowds people passing giant beach balls along, you know, punching them into the air across the audience and so on. I mean, all kinds of ridiculous and blasphemous things going on. So I guess that's what our listener, who is saying that Reformed people tend to frown upon that. Not all. There are some Reformed people who do not believe in the regulative principle of worship and wind up doing all kinds of stupid things, just like other churches do. But the listener is right, isn't he or she, that there is a difference in our liberties in regard to things in a worship service and things at home?
Yes, absolutely. You know, that's the thing. I mean, Christians can have fun. we're not told to be humdrum, no happiness, no joy.
And that is definitely not the attitude of Hope Reformed Baptist Church, I can tell you that.
No, certainly not.
I mean, before you even got there, they would have me do stand-up comedy at the Tuscarora youth retreats.
Exactly. You know, we love to laugh and to enjoy our time together with our families, with the body of Christ. Speaking to how can we make, homeschool fun for the kids. You know, one example that I would give you is, the first day of school, you know, you see the school buses going by and stuff like that. And we would have it because it's September. It's still warm. It's beach day for us. everyone else is getting on the bus to go off to school and we're going to the beach because we can do whatever we want. our schedule is flexible. You have a lot more flexibility in your day with, when you're doing the schoolwork and how you're getting it done and all that. So you have a lot more time to do things that you enjoy. Your kids can focus on passions that they enjoy. We would take family vacations that were like half vacation, half field trip. When we were first started homeschooling, one of my daughters really couldn't read. She's a sweetheart and her teachers loved her. But, you know, they weren't teaching her how to read. They weren't using phonics. They weren't sounding it out. You know, they were guessing. So we got her into reading by finding a subject that she liked, horses. And we got her the Misty of Chincoteague stories, the books. And then we went down to Virginia and we visited Chincoteague, you know, and so got to see the place that she had been reading about and you know, and explore that area. So you can do all sorts of activities. You can do all sorts of field trips. You can be much more hands-on, you know, especially when they're younger. But even as they're getting older, you know, there's so much to do, you know. And if you're struggling coming up with ideas, you know, get in touch with a local homeschool group. You know, find, you know, there's resources out there online, but you could find probably a local body, you know, a local group that can give you ideas on what you can do. But there's so much to do that you can enjoy yourself and have fun, find things that are interesting to the kids, and teaching them at the same time.
All right, we have to go to our final break. It's going to be a lot more brief than the other breaks. If you have a question, please submit it immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We will be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order. Iron
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
We have CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who has two questions that are both excellent. CJ wants to know, how much of the family worship should be led by an unbelieving husband, if any? And I'll have you answer that, and then I'll go on to the second question.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean,
I know that conservative, reformed Christian churches like ours believe in the headship of the husband, even when he's an unbeliever. And we are caught in a quandary sometimes when we are faced with a question like that, because Christians aren't even really supposed to worship with an unbeliever, other than to have them in our midst when we have people visiting our churches and so on. But, like, for instance, should an unbelieving husband be given, like, a catechism book, a good solid one, like Keach's or something, or the Westminster Shorter Catechism or something, and you go through these things with the mom present who's a believer, even though he is an unbeliever? Is that wise, or what do you think?
You know what? That question throws me for a loop, because I've never had it asked. I've never seen an unbelieving father express interest in leading family worship. If he's interested in leading family worship, I would be talking to him about the gospel and him submitting himself to the God that he is leading his family in worship of. I would not recommend him leading worship. You know, we wouldn't have an unbeliever come up during worship to pray or to preach. I'd be open for someone explaining why it might be okay, but my first inclination is to say no. I wouldn't recommend an unbeliever leading family worship. If they're so inclined, I would want to be really pushing to hear them, you know, hear the gospel and discuss, you know, scripture and try to come to an understanding of, you know, if they're willing to worship God with their children, why are they not submitting themselves to Christ and you know?
Well, you know, you do have situations where an unregenerate man thinks he is a Christian and may even out of arrogance want to lead the children, and he may even acquiesce to use a reformed catechism in doing so. But it might be one of those situations where he doesn't even go to church. He's got a superior attitude. He doesn't think that the church where his wife is a member is worth his time. I've met all kinds of couples over the decades I've been a Christian, and I've definitely met husbands like that who think that they're Christians even though they really don't give convincing evidence of it.
Yeah, you're talking about difference of someone who's professing. When you said an unbelieving husband, I'm assuming someone who's unbelieving and is stating that they're not a believer.
Right, right.
Not, you know, if a parent is saying that they believe in Christ, you know, and they want to lead worship, then I would say, yeah, get a catechism, get a family worship thing. You know, Joel Beakey has something out. There's resources out there. And if I'm a believing wife, you know, who doesn't, you know, who questions my husband's salvation, but he's willing to lead, I would be praying and asking the church I attend, to, you know, people I know who I can trust, you know, to be praying for him, that he would be convicted going through this worship of, you know, the things that are being discussed, you know, the scripture and whatnot. But, I mean, if he's saying that, you know, he's a believer and he wants to lead, then I would say, yeah, get a catechism, get something, you know, and do that, and then pray that he's convicted. I mean, there were unbelieving priests in the time of Israel who, you know, the people still had to go and bring their sacrifices, and
right,
didn't negate their worship of God. That priest would have to be responsible to God for what he was doing if he was doing something wrong.
Right.
But, yeah, so that answers that the best I can there.
And Abraham Kuyper was a lost liberal minister who got saved while being a pastor as an unbeliever through the evangelism of an elderly woman in the church.
Praise God for his grace.
But the other question CJ has is, can you list the essential elements that you should be, that you believe should always be present in a family altar and all things associated with family worship and the catechism of children, the catechizing of children in the home?
The essential elements. Can you say it one more time?
Yeah. What are the essential elements of having a family altar and that kind of thing? I mean, must a family open up their hymnals and other things that they have, their psalters, and sing praises to God in their home and other things like that? What are some of the essential things that you think must be present?
I think hymnals are great. When we do family worship, we use a Trinity Baptist hymnal. And so that I think is beneficial. You want to have the scripture, you know. You can take just a verse, you can take a chapter, you know, you can do as much or as little as you like, but basically a lot of what you would find in a worship service, you know, it's a little bit different for, you know, local, for the family. You know, I wouldn't be giving communion to my children there, even though, you know, they're baptized and believers. You know, they partake of the Lord's Supper at on the Lord's Day. But prayer, singing, scripture, those are the elements of worship that I would be bringing into it. The time-wise, when you do it, how long you do it for, that can depend on the family. You know, but I think it's important to try to do it on a daily basis. You know, sometimes I've heard people recommend trying to do, like, you know, morning and evening like this. Morning and evening offerings, you know, that Abraham would offer, you know, when he's with his family. That's great if you can do it. But if you're setting time aside, you know, on a daily basis, making that part of your schedule, you are showing your children that God is a priority in your life. And it's giving them an example to follow. But absolutely, being in prayer, singing a song or two, you know, a favorite hymn, a worship chorus, you know, and of course, you know, the scripture. You know, you can go through Proverbs, you can do a verse, you can do a chapter, you can discuss it, you can ask the kids if they have questions. And don't be afraid to tell your kids you don't know. You know, part of the Christian life is growing, and we ask questions, and then we go and seek out those answers and then come back with them.
I know a couple of dear elderly couple. One, the wife is now in heaven, but Jerry and Fern Hill, maybe you've heard of them. They operate the Timothy Hill Children's Ranch in Riverhead, Long Island, and they had a tradition from when their children were little all the way through when their children are now very large adults. One of their children was a professional football player with the Seattle Seahawks. But they had a tradition where at the dinner table, before anybody ate, each person at the table was to give a reason, a specific reason why they believe God blessed them that day. So I thought that was a very wonderful thing to bring in the faith into the home.
Yeah, teaching gratitude. Yeah, praise God.
And one quick question of my own. Is it okay for the husband, if he thinks his wife is more articulate or stronger in the faith, maybe she's been saved longer, to let her take the reins on all those things done under the roof of the household, and as he sits back and participates maybe as an observer but isn't really leading it? Is that okay?
I would say no. It's not about gifting as it is about role and responsibility. You know, I think if you're having a discussion about scripture, by all means, you know, if a question comes up, maybe she has a good answer for it and she can help explain it and articulate it to the children. But being able to pray, being able to sing, being able to read scripture and to try to answer some questions, you don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be very skilled in it. You just have to do your best. But you want to show that it's the man's responsibility to lead his family.
And as you were saying before, if it is the believing, if the husband is believing.
Yes.
And we have to, we're out of time, and I want to make sure our listeners have your website. It's hopereformedli.net, hopereformedli.net. That's Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Quorum, Long Island, New York. Thank you so much, Pastor Chris, especially with very late notice, for being our guest today. Thank you, everybody who listened. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.